America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Yeah, this is Michael Dean. Wake up, world. I don't like that Wake Up America the more I hear it. I'm going to get rid of that. Because we have listeners all over the world, and I was driving the car today, and I was listening to the radio, and I like to listen to the right-wing radio pundit rock stars, the lumbering dinosaurs that dominate the airwaves, and they all say, "Greetings, America!" They're so nationalistic and, what's the word? Self-centric and they don't want you committing exogamy. They don't want you marrying outside the tribe or even acknowledging that anything outside the tribe of America exists. But I am geographically in America. This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean. I am in Beast Lick, Wyoming in my windowless bunker. And on the other end of the inner tubes in Moose Lick, Maine, we have Chandler St. Pierre. Are you there, Chandler?
I hear. How's it going?
How's the weather in Moose Lick, Maine?
It's almost starting to warm up. I think we might have actually hit spring now.
Are the moose French Canadian there?
I think so.
Yeah? Are you near Canada?
No. I'm about 6 hours
okay.
from the border.
So you're not doing any rum smuggling tonight after the show?
Not tonight.
Prohibition. Yeah, so I want to talk about a bunch of fun stuff with you, and you have some philosophy to talk about, and I'm like, hey man, I'm game. I'll offer an opinion even if I don't have any educated knowledge on it. But I want to talk at first about cops and the government and how dumb the government is. And I was driving today with my wife. We had to go to the vet, take the kitty in for its haircut. It's a kicky summer do. And we drove by two cops, like eight blocks apart on the main road in and out of town to where the vet is. Two cops, about eight blocks apart, pointing guns at everyone in their car. And the guns were radar guns. But they look like guns, man. You ever had one of those pointed at you, Chandler?
Yes. In fact, I just got nabbed about a month and a half ago.
Are radar detectors legal in your state?
Yeah, they are.
They pay for themselves in one ticket. We have one. But this was like bumper to bumper. You know, the closest thing this town has to a traffic jam. I don't think you could have sped past the speed limit in this passel of cars. But this cop's pointing the gun at us, and my wife's driving, and I had like 4 hours sleep. You know, I did my show last night, and then I watched a bunch of Mad Men. I've watched through all of them, and I'm going back and starting them over.
Oh, I have show suggestions later.
Good, because I could use them. So, you know, I'm barely waking up. Like, I'm having my coffee in the car, 4 hours sleep. I'm just looking out the window, and I see this cop, and my head kind of followed, my eyes followed him, and my head followed him. Like, I wanted a better look at him, and I wasn't even thinking. I wasn't mad-dogging him or anything. I was just like, oh, there's a guy pointing a gun at people. And he mad-dogged me, man. He followed my eyes. Like, you know, we weren't going very fast. Like, this lasted 5 or 6 seconds. He mad-dogged me, like, how dare you look at me? That's what his expression said, man. It's really
weird.
Oh,
yeah. They do that all the time, man. I gotta tell you, it's total pet peeve of mine. Usually once every month. Sometimes they go every other month. There's three areas of town, and I don't live in a big city. And they hide, and they have their little radar gun pointed. And what they'll do is they'll have an unmarked vehicle. And now the unmarked police vehicles, they don't even look like the traditional unmarked police vehicles. Like, they have a GMC, I don't know, some big SUV thing that does not look like.
Yeah, it looks like every family in Wyoming or Maine's car.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll sit there with their little radar gun. They'll start tagging people, and down the road they'll have usually four cops waiting. And, you know, I was driving the other day with one of my clients, and we were coming up over this hill. And, you know, everyone comes up over this hill and, you know, is going 35 usually, and the speed limit's like 25. And they, you know, I saw him immediately and I looked right at him and I was like, oh man, made my turn. And sure enough, you know, cop pulled me over and, you know, I just was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to sit there and argue with them. There's no point. But it just, it's so crazy because their speed limits are so arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's, they're just there to raise revenue, you know?
Yeah. They're, so, they're highwaymen. They're robbing you.
Yeah. And they do. I mean, they had four people pulled over and then we went to the store and we were coming back and they were still doing it like an hour later, you know?
This one was really weird. Because it was, he wasn't hiding at all. I've never seen one as blatant as this. Like, he was leaning against a black and white police car, you know, leaning on the hood. Fat cop. Now, I don't, I'm not fattest, and I'm overweight, so I can't, you know, get on anyone about being fat. But I do like to point out when cops are fat, because they are fat on our tax dollars. And I think that in a libertarian paradise, or in any situation where you actually paid a security force, you wouldn't want fat ones because they can't chase real bad guys, you know?
No, they just, wouldn't be.
Yeah. So, well, it's basically like welfare for people who, you know, couldn't get a real job, I think, when they're fat. But this guy was not hiding. He was leaning against a police car in police uniform in broad daylight. Like, he was as conspicuous as a hitchhiker with a big pink sign would have been, pointing this gun at people. And
so, were they pulling people over?
I saw someone a ways up pulled over. But so it wasn't a sometimes they'll mad dog you if they're hiding and you stare at them because they think you might alert someone else. But this guy was alerting himself to everybody. So there was no hiding. The vibe I got was, how dare you look at me? That's what it felt like. And it was definitely a dirty look. It wasn't in my mind. And I did not give him a dirty look. I gave him kind of a blank, half awake stare. So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing with cops. I hate to collectivize, but it's been my
experience. I like to do it with collectivists.
Yeah.
Because they are a mob. I mean, it's really, I don't like collectivism either, but with collectivists, I think it's fair to collectivize them because they collectivize themselves into the power of the mob to rob you, steal you, rape you, cage you, tax you, and take your stuff.
You know, I swear to God that it must be my posts on Twitter, Facebook, getting on the internets, talking, yakking. In the last year, I have got hassled by more cops, you know, usually for speeding or whatever. I mean, I haven't had, until last year, I hadn't had a speeding ticket in 15 years. And this last year, boy, they've just tagged me every way they could.
Do you really think it's, they know you're the guy from the internet that doesn't like them and they're going after you?
No, I just like to think that.
Yeah, know, I don't think it's that. I mean, I actually think,
but I do find it is coincidental, you know, that I've started being much, much, much more vocal, and it just seems like I'm a magnet for them.
I think there's a possibility there. I think it's that flexing your free speech on the interwebs and on the radio makes you, you know, maybe there was some subconscious. Maybe I was mad dogging him and didn't know it. You know,
yeah.
I think it just makes you, it might make you more of a magnet because you have a, you know, I don't give a Feinstein attitude kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think I was telling Ben once on his cast, I had to go to court for a speeding ticket. I had a run in with a police officer, a female police officer, older one. And well, let's just say she was not very pleasant. And my general attitude is when I get pulled over, I try to be reasonable and respectful, because sometimes you never know, you'll get a cop that will not have the authority complex, and that's actually happened to me. But this particular cop, just no, she was going to give it to me full bore. And you know, after trying to be nice for 5 minutes, I just let loose on her and went on a rant about asking her how she likes being a thug for the state and this.
Oh,
and that,
man.
You know, I already had the ticket, so, you know, I had to let loose because she said some pretty troubling things that made me upset. So I figured, well, you know, and then I went into the court and tried my spiel, and the judge kind of thought it was amusing. I swear to God, he was drunk, too. I really do. But
that's not impossible.
No, I don't think it is. And, you know, he ended up just saying, well, all right, here, how about this, you know, $50 fine. And you know, you got 30 days to pay it. And I kind of looked at him. He's like, 30 days, not enough. All right, how about 60? And I'm like, all right, man, whatever. You know, because he came right out and he was like, you basically can't fight these. It's your word against the cops. And in civil law, the preponderance of evidence is always in the cops' favor. So you can't really fight traffic. And you know, he was honest about it.
Yeah. And, you know, more and more different government agencies are going after people in civil ways rather than in criminal ways because it's harder to fight.
It is.
You don't get an attorney appointed if it's a civil lawsuit or a civil, you know, action.
But you can have an actual trial with a jury, you know, for a traffic ticket.
Yeah.
You know that? Well, and the thing with the civil matters is, I know you have spoken many times about how using magic words in court doesn't work. And I'm of a very similar opinion. But there are some arguments that you can make where they won't acknowledge that you're correct lawfully, but they just don't want the other sheep hearing you talk like that. So a lot of times they'll just be like case dismissed.
Like what?
Get them out of here.
Like what?
Well, one of the classic things is if you get a traffic ticket, you know, you address the court and say, all right, I've been accused of a crime. I'd like you to produce the victim. And the first thing they'll say is, you know, obviously, well, the state is the victim. And then you can go into how the state's a collectivized entity and there was no damages incurred. So there can be no lawful, not retribution. What's the word I'm looking for?
Have you done that and does it work?
I have done it. And one time a judge was just like, whatever.
I am against magic words, and I had a discussion last night with Randy England, who's an attorney and a former prosecutor. And, you know, the people who are into magic words would say, of course he's against it. He's one of them, but he's an anarcho-capitalist. He does not like government. He's an attorney. But, maybe I've never heard the thing of, like, they don't want the other sheep to hear it and get you out of there. That's an interesting take. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Dreamer. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Cops are so square. Government is so square. People that love the government and cops are so square. Don't you think so, Chandler?
Absolutely.
They're like, they're as square as Richard Nixon. You know, if you think about like old gray-haired white Republican men from 40, 50 years ago that, you know, that's how it was then. And like, I think a lot of young people think the politicians now are hip for some reason. They're not hip. They're like those guys on steroids, man.
They're horrible.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean, what Nixon got kicked out of office for, not saying he's a good guy. He was horrid. He took us off the gold standard. He was a politician. He started the war on drugs in the form it's in now. He did a whole
bunch.
Started the EPA. Yeah. And that's, you know, we don't like pollution. We're not saying we want, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. How things would work without government regulation. I don't want to go there right now. But you know, people like what Nixon was kicked out of office for, you know, spying on a couple Democrats, like the federal government does that all day, every day to everyone in the world in a much, you know, without having to break into places and pretend to be plumbers and, place bugs. And, you know, the White House plumbers, they weren't actually plumbers. It was a part of the CIA that were called the plumbers because their job was stopping up leaks.
Yeah, they did wet work.
Well, wet work, too. That means killing people. But, so politicians are square. And I am seeing the government more and more everywhere. And I don't know if it's just seeing the world through the rose-colored lib pair glasses that we all wear now, or that I've been wearing so long that I can't not see things that way, or if there's just more of it. I think it's both, and I think there's just more media pointing it out everywhere. Like, I saw an ad for 5-Hour Energy Drink yesterday, and this may sound petty, like, oh, this guy's complaining about 5-Hour Energy Drink, but, you know, it's everywhere, and if you don't mention it, you let it slide. So I just got to call him out on this. I saw an ad for 5-Hour Energy Drink, which is a good product. People have been using it for years. You know, it sells. People like it.
I'll take your word for it.
I don't know what's in it. It must be good. They sell it on TV. It must be good. But I saw this ad for it. It was like uber patriotic with like soldiers coming home from, you know, war in America now, like being hugged by their tiny children and their wives. And it was and it was like, every time you buy 5-Hour Energy Drink, we'll donate, you know, some amount of money to the – it was not the Wounded Warrior Project. It was something – you know, and it's also like there's all these projects, and I'm gonna put on my minarchist hat for a minute here. If you're going to have an army, there shouldn't have to be something like the Wounded Warrior Project. You know, if you're going to send men out to shoot and get shot at, you should take care of them. That's okay. My minarchist hat's back off now. It is so square that I can't watch a commercial for a random, you know, neutral product without having the state shoved down my face. And I feel like what they're doing is embedding with innocence. They're trying to get to the point where everybody works for the federal government, the state government, the local government, or their brother does, or their mother does, or their husband does, or their wife does, to where nobody's going to want to criticize it because everyone's dependent on it. I really feel like that's what they're doing.
I would agree with you. I would also go back to 1984. The book, it wasn't prophetic if you understand the circles that he ran in, as well as Aldous Huxley. But it is prophetic in that it's the extreme illustration, but it's happening now.
Did you know that the U.S. federal government employs 5 million people?
I'm surprised it's only 5 million,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Well, and you figure if you have a centralized authority that destroys, totally destroys the economy, what does that leave you with? I mean, I remember growing up and hearing people say, yeah, you know, get out, go into the National Guard, go into the Army, get out, get a job with the government, go work for the post office or go work for the state. Like, in the line of work I do, when I started off, I work for a private agency. But there's also state workers, case managers that work specifically for the state. And we are always told you should do that. You know, they get 2 weeks paid vacation. They get all kinds of benefits. The pay is good. I mean, I know there's one of my clients has a state worker who I don't have a high opinion of because of the job they do.
What is it?
I don't think they do that. She's a case manager dealing. I work with individuals with disabilities. And yeah,
we'll go back into that. More complaining about the government and how it wants to kill you and steal your money after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Is there a no tyranny rule in this show?
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Congress is like a teenage boy with alcohol and car keys. Who said that? H.L. Mencken?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, who said this? We're going to play Name That Anarchist. The scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Well, that would be Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
but it was probably ghostwritten by
Carl Hess.
Carl Hess, yeah.
Yeah, I know that Carl Hess was an anarchist, and I know that he wrote for Goldwater, and I know that Goldwater was the first modern politician who sounded like an anarchist and created this whole, you know, we want to drown government in the bathtub kind of attitude when people are running, but then they don't have that attitude once they're in. Reagan vastly expanded the federal government. He said some pithy stuff. He also said that the federal government is like the alimentary canal of a toddler. What, DJ? Okay. The federal government is like the alimentary canal of a toddler. Unbridled appetite at one end and no control at the other. Yeah.
Truth.
Politicians, they can speak, but they can't do the right thing. Because to do the right thing, they'd have to be Ron Paul and quit being politicians and just go hang out with their grandkids.
Pretty much.
And do a podcast.
There was a guy that I used to listen to. He guested on a lot of different shows, Bob Chapman. He was a financial guy. But he was also the guy – have you ever read the book None Dare Call It Conspiracy?
I've heard of it. Isn't that the book that Alex Jones said like brought him to truth like 20 years ago?
I wouldn't doubt it because it's done that for a lot of people. And it's an excellent book. It's a very small book. But the backstory behind it was the author, Gary something, I can't remember. He wrote a lot of stuff on Nixon too.
Yep, yep. As a teenager, Alex Jones read Gary Allen's None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, which yep. strongly impacted him and which he calls the easiest to read primer on the New World Order. There you
yep.
go.
And one day Bob was on the show talking, and how they had originally distributed that book is he put up a lot of his own money and they had them made up, and they went to mall parking lots in the back of like a U-Haul tractor trailer thing and started distributing the books. It took it at a loss for a while. But anyway, so Bob Chapman was on a show one day and he was talking about how Reagan actually was very idealistic and had a lot of good ideas. And found out very, very quickly once he got into the presidential office that wasn't going to fly. And, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out
there.
Yeah,
they always say that, though, that, you know, that I've heard that excuse for Obama, too, of why he didn't fulfill a lot of his campaign promises. Actually, probably none of them except Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed. You know, they say they were idealistic when they were running, and once they got in, they realized how hard it was, so they couldn't do all the good that they were going to do.
Well, it wasn't just that. It's he thought he was going to get around that, and it was made clear. Like, he hated Bush Sr. Reagan absolutely hated him, but look who his running mate was. And that was kind of... You know, you are going to have him. You know, his political advisor said, well, it's to gain this and that and this district and that district. But, you know, a lot of people say that it was much more than that. But, you know, what you can take away from that is it doesn't really matter what type of person you are. You may have the best intentions. You may be a good – like I said, I read the Reagan diaries back in the day, and it paints a vastly different picture. I think a more honest picture of Reagan. Stuff that you didn't see him doing as president. But once you get into that system, you're corrupted. You to think that you can affect meaningful change through legislation.
I don't know. Ridiculous. I think Reagan was a puppet. I think
that's kind of the point.
I think the GOP and the, you know, giant Wall Street and military industrial complex corporations behind all politicians saw the success of Goldwater's message, which was really just like, I don't even think Goldwater had a message. I think it was that anarchist Carl Hess writing for him. And, you know, and he was smoking hash while he was writing speeches for Goldwater. And I think that the powers that be saw how Goldwater's message resonated and said, we need someone who's a little better looking and better spoken and less rough around the edges. And they got an actor. You know, Reagan was a Democrat for a long time.
And very liberal.
You know what happened? The GOP had John Wayne, who was friends with Reagan because they were actors, had him come talk to Reagan and get him to switch parties and run for president.
Well, he actually tried to run in the previous election, and he got shut right out. In fact, Bush Sr. beat Reagan in the primaries the first time around.
Why are we talking about politicians? That is square, man. What happened? So, we're not that kind of show.
I had something to lead into.
Go ahead.
As I'm being swarmed by cats, which will come up
later. Aw, kitties.
Yeah, we got a new kitten.
Aw.
And my cat is
awesome.
Yeah.
You don't have dogs, though?
Yeah. She's.
If you have a gun, somewhere. You don't need a dog.
Yeah.
Although dogs will alert you when someone's trying to break in. Although when someone tried to break into our house in L.A., the cats alerted me. I had headphones on. I had my back to the window. Someone was trying to pry open. And the cats ran in and started squealing.
Yeah. So I have this theory, right, that I've been kind of thinking about for a few years. I think you can tell how free a society is by how many signs you see. Now, at first that sounds absurd, but just take a drive around your town and look at all the signs. And basically I'm talking like traffic signs and no trespassing signs and do this and don't do that signs. Stuff put up by the city, the state, you know, the government. And the more you see, I think it does indicate how free we are. Now, it used to be driving around my town, you know, like I said, I don't live in a huge city. You didn't see a whole lot of signs.
Yeah, Moose Lick.
Right. Now you see them everywhere. And it's twofold. It's not just conditioning. It's also that the state has to waste your money or they don't get an excuse to steal more money. And you see signs everywhere. And it's also indicative of how intelligent a society is. I think the more signs you see, the less free you are and the less intelligent your society is perceived as.
So the mathematical designation of that would be the amount of intelligence in an area is inversely proportionate to the number of signs.
Something like that.
I have a credo kind of like that. It's called the Dean Principle, or it's one of the many things I call the Dean Principle, which is the amount of freedom in a geographic location is inversely proportionate to the height of the tallest building in that
area. Yes. I remember that episode. Yeah,
The highest building in my town, I think, is 6 or 7 stories.
I think technically the highest building would be the Catholic church that I used to go to.
Steeples don't count. I'm talking like number of floors.
Yeah.
So you actually listen to this show, huh?
Every day.
What else do you listen to?
Well, I love Ben's podcast, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
He barely does them anymore. He does Fiends now. He's in semi-retirement now that he's a rock star. He's just sitting around counting his millions of Bitcoin. I'm kidding. He's not rich at all.
I know. It makes me sad. So he's very soothing to listen to.
Well, here, you know, really what I'm going for is longevity, which is one reason that people should torrent the Freedom Fiends. Because we also have 50 50 of Ben's best episodes as a torrent in that torrent RSS feed. So go to the Freedom Fiend site, click on the link that says Torrent Club over on the right. It's got a little torrent logo with a halo on it, because you are blessed if you help keep this stuff drone-proof in perpetuity. Like, I really think, I honestly believe that in 50 years, this is going to be one of the most listened podcasts. Like, after I'm dead of old age, or, you know, in a hail of ATF gunfire or whatever, I really do believe this is going to be, this and Ben are going to be two of the most listened Liberty stuff from this era.
Yeah. Dissemination of information is key.
Yeah.
I actually put together a thumb drive full of Freedom Fiends and Bad Quaker podcasts, and I filled up the thumb drive before I was done putting everything on it that I wanted. But no, you guys are entertaining.
Somebody wrote me today and said, someone I'd never heard of wrote me and said that we are the only Liberty show where the host has a sense of humor. And then what did you say to that?
I said, well, they haven't listened to our show.
What is your show and where can people find it?
It is the FU Express, and it's on flightofthebastards.com.
And you're not going for radio, I take it?
Nope. Nope.
I'm going for radio because it's been a dream of mine for 40 years. Like, I'm going to turn 50 this weekend. And since I was about 10, I wanted to have a radio show. Like, there wasn't even talk radio, but I wanted to be a DJ, but say cool stuff between the songs or something, you know?
You know, it's kind of funny because I've often felt that way too, especially when I was younger. And I'm fortunate enough, I have the best of both worlds. I can get together with my buddies and do our podcast, and we can totally let loose and be just insane and do it over the internet and have fun. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to get on your show with you and actually go out on the air. It's quite an amazing thing. Well, this kind of blows my mind.
It blows my mind too. This nighttime show is on one station. The weekend show is on 23 stations. We were on 25, but two of them turned to country and western stations and stopped doing talk. So we're not on in Knoxville anymore. But this show is getting rebranded. I found out the date, June 9th. This show is going to turn into the Freedom Fiends. And once that happens, I can go start calling stations nonstop again and offer them 7 days a week, which is a real kind of it's a lot easier to get on stations the more days you can offer. And generally, the wisdom would be, if you were going to start a show from scratch, to do it 7 days a week at the same time. And I'm not doing that. I'm doing 5 days a week at night and 2 days a week in the morning on the weekends. But I talked to Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine, and he said, I don't know of anybody doing that, but it's actually a great idea.
It is.
Because it's a great idea strategically, which is not how I ended up doing it. It just kind of happened. But it's a great idea strategically because these days stations book their weekend slots totally differently than how they book their nighttime programming. So it really kind of gives you the best of both availabilities. And,
well, I hope.
And the thing is, like, the slot that we have on the weekends, there's so much competition for that. I mean, that slot is like Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh, and that's what most stations are playing, one or the other, during that time. But at night, like, GCN has 72 shows. They have two right now. There's one other show live right now on GCN. So,
and well, I hope to hear you up here in Maine on the radio soon.
I've been working on it. I got to call that guy back up. All right, brother man, we'll be back after this trip to the free market.
The market.
The market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Groovy gals and kitty guys, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, going all the way back to 1991 with that music by my band Bomb. That is a song called, I can't remember what that song's called because it was so long ago, but that's me on it.
It's
and
cool.
Yeah, we're talking to a musician and fellow cat lover and government disliker, fellow government disliker, Chandler St. Pierre. And we're moving to the segment about cats because we're just really sick of talking about the government because it's so square. It's so stupid. They've got a gun at your head. They want to kill you. Everyone knows that. We could say that all day long. It wouldn't change it. What changes it is laughing about it and then talking about cats because that gets into people's heart of hearts and they go, hey, these people like cats. Maybe I should listen to them. So tell me about your new cat.
Well, the new kitty is adorable. I hate to admit it because, you know, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm betraying my baby boy, but he's really cute. Black and white, mostly.
Wait,
black.
Betraying your other cat, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, come on. All cats are good.
Yes. And he is too. It's funny because my daughter is at my father's tonight and, you know, she's been keeping that cat really close. She's so worried. She said, "Dad, I don't want to get another cat and have him like you too." You know, like, because like my cat and his mama cat, they both were totally attached to me, obviously. Although, funny story, I don't know if I ever told you this. When my two cats were born, my daughter was 5 years old and she screamed. And I'm like, oh, I got out of bed. And, you know, it was like 5 a.m, got out of bed and ran into her room. I was like, "What, Faith? What's the matter?" And my mama cat had given birth right on her bed with her sleeping in it.
Did she know what that was?
She did. She's okay. Always been a sharp kid, but she was still kind of freaked out.
Birth,
you know?
Is freaky, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and little cats or baby cats are so little and wet and their eyes are closed and they're weird. Yeah. They look like furry worms.
Worms.
They do. So, yeah, the cat, she's like, "Dad, this cat better not like you better than me." And so she's keeping this cat really close. But, you know, I went for my nap tonight before the show, and sure enough, I feel this cat roaming around my head, and I'm like, "Oh, my God." At first, I thought it was mine. Then I felt the little tiny feet, and I'm like, "Oh, coming to see me, are you?" So, and he's cute. He's playful. He's a little skittish, but he's playful. And my cat's just kind of like, "All right, whatever." But he's also older. He's 10 years old, too. So, but they're both sitting in here with me now, just kind of chilling. They were batting wires, and my kitty was sitting on my lap, and the kitten was batting his tail until he let him know that he needs to stop that.
We're hiring someone to watch our cats while we're gone. That's how much we like our cats.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have my dad,
like,
you know,
like be here. Like, someone's going to be staying here with them so they won't get lonely. And, yeah, and we can watch them on the video cam, too. We have cat cams.
Of course.
Although
there's
no internets at Porkfest, huh?
There is. And from my understanding is it'll be better. I think you're going to see much better in mesh networks this year. They had them last year, but they were kind of unreliable.
What about cell phones? They work there?
Yeah. It depends what your carrier is. I had Straight Talk last year. I still have Straight Talk. And you know, I get a signal, but doing data was not good.
Sometimes when you can't talk on the phone, you can still text with some phones, though.
Yes. Yeah. I know Derek had a good signal. I think he's on U.S. Cellular.
Derek Slopey or Derek J?
Derek Slopey.
Derek J texted me the other day to my landline. I'm like, I think I had to pay money to listen to it. It's like, I had to like press a bunch of buttons and then it like read it in a robot voice. And it was like, "Hi."
Is that a real thing?
It was like, "Hi, sweetie. This is Derek. I got your," it was like the Derek going like, "Hi, sweetie," but it, like in a robot mono voice. It was really disturbing. Yeah.
Well, I sent a text mistakenly to a landline not too long ago and it just returned as unsendable. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. I don't know why I can do it. I just have a feeling it, you know, cost me 50 cents or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. So cats, right?
Yeah. They're awesome.
Cats are awesome. And they embody. We're going to talk about philosophy in the next segment, and cats embody philosophy and peacefulness and being one with your surroundings.
Yeah, they're like, "Leave me alone, I'm a cat." Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
They start experimenting.
We had enough on scene.
Look under a lot of
Casimir's.
The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Good evening, and it is a good evening, and I hope that my voice is going directly into your cerebellum and your pineal gland, because that's where the fun stuff happens. So, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking on the interwebs and the radio with Chandler St. Pierre. Hello, Chandler.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good morning.
Want to hear my cat purr?
Yeah. Oh, kitty, kitty.
I'm petting her.
That's Charlie. She's loud.
Kitties are awesome.
They are.
All right. So what's on your mind?
So we're going to kind of shift from the whole government is everywhere and there's always bad news. I have a few quotes I want to read.
Yeah, because there's kitties, man. Who cares about that? There's kitties.
Exactly. And kitties embody the essence of peace. So we're going to start off with – there's a few people I've been reading a lot of lately. And like I said last time I was on the show, my Facebook feed is generally like-minded people, like, you know, all the fiends and other people.
All the people who are less than happy with the existence of government.
Exactly. So when I look at my Facebook feed, it's all the same stuff. You know, it's,
yeah,
oh,
it's an echo chamber. That's another reason I like being on radio, is because we reach people we'd never reach on the internet.
Yeah. Well, and it's all the same stuff. And I used to be in that sort of circle. And
you know, a couple people actually said to me, how can you be on a radio station that has Rush Limbaugh? I mean, your show is like on right after Rush Limbaugh's Week in Review on the weekends. And I said, how can I not?
You know, it's like, why would you counter that?
You gotta. Yeah, exactly.
You know, they have a they've cornered the market. Those older dudes.
Yeah.
So
I'm 50 and I'm like the youngest talk radio host in the world, except for you and Free Talk Live.
Yeah. So I've decided to do a switch. You know, every once in a while, I'm going to post, you know, some tyranny. And, like, I did post something that happened in a Maine state prison the other day that came to my attention. It was a full video, and it was just horrifying. And I had to post that, you know. I was outraged. But generally speaking,
was it Shawshank?
No. It was in Thompson. But generally speaking,
Shawshank's
now,
not real, but it's in, like, all of
it's
all
based
of that
on
guy's
real
books.
Yeah. So a lot of music videos which reflect the mood, and a lot of quotes. Some of them are original that I've come up with, and some are from people I've really started to read and admire. So some of the people I've started to read and admire are Hunter S. Thompson, Henry David Thoreau, Lao Tzu, and Charles Bukowski. Have you ever heard of him?
Have I ever heard of him? I've read everything he wrote by, like, probably 1990.
Okay, I figured as much. Given
my
your
first novel is heavily influenced by him. My first novel, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women. Even the title of that.
Okay, yeah. See, I was gonna. That's why I asked you, because that kind. I just read,
But it's heroin instead of alcohol.
Right. Well, so I've been doing a lot of his quotes, and they've really spoken to me lately. And Dalton the other day, I had picked up What Matters Most Is How You Walk Through the Fire. It's a book of poetry.
Yeah, I don't like Bukowski's poetry that much. My wife loves it, but I like his short stories.
Yeah, it's very different. It's not – I actually like it because it's in the style that I like to read poetry. But so Dalton posted on that link. He was like, you should read the book Women.
Yeah.
And – oh, yeah. So I'm reading it, and it's horrible, but it's like a train crash. I can't look away. No, it's just – you know.
Well, I read the book Women when I was writing – you know, and shortly after I was writing my first novel. And it's not derivative of Bukowski. It's got its own voice. But, you know, I was trying to think of – a phrase that would describe – Bukowski in the book Women and in the movie Barfly. The phrase I came up with was starving in the company of beautiful women.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing at the time I was writing it or before. I mean, by the time that I wrote that book in 2000, I wasn't starving. So,
right.
But you know, I had been, and I was writing a sort of a fictional mentholated version of my rock days.
Yeah.
Where, you know, basically the truth with the names change and a few exaggerations, and I die at the end of it of a drug overdose.
Well, I'm glad that didn't turn out like that.
But I actually die on page one, and then it's all cool. Backstory.
I'll have to check that out. There's so much of your media that I want to check out. Like,
it is a paperback. I actually got 1,000 copies of it printed at a printing press called Punks with Presses in Oakland. And this is before you could do on-demand printing.
Right.
It's like I actually learned Quark, did the page layout, and took it to the printer, and they made like, you know, photo 4-up negatives of it and printed tin metal sheets for an offset printer from that. It was pretty cool. I actually had all of the film for a while, and I ended up giving them away to people one at a time. And I don't have any of them left, but, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, I went over like 5 or 6 times during the printing of it. It took them a couple weeks to print it and bind it. And it was really fun. It's really, it's such a different experience than like uploading something to Cafe Press.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I mean,
it's like machines the size of a living room that weigh like, you know, 8 tons that make a hell of a lot of racket and like spray everybody around them with ink.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I worked in a newspaper, newspaper company there. And I saw some of that stuff a little bit different, but yeah, very noisy. So like another book I started reading was, Your User's Manual. I very much enjoy it. And I was in my clinicals the other day talking to our clinical psychologist.
Are you a nurse?
No.
What do you mean your clinicals?
I work as a direct support professional for individuals with disabilities, mental illness and physical disabilities. Okay. So we have clinicals where we discuss cases, problems, solutions with, you know, a licensed therapist and all that. She's great too.
Sort of like in Bones where they're all sitting around a whiteboard throwing
kinda,
out ideas.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
And, you know, we were talking
We're not
about,
Bones, House. I think
in
House. Bones, everyone's dead.
Yeah, don't let me forget to talk about the TV stuff there too. So I said to her, I said, you know, this really great book that a friend of mine wrote, and I think you should check it out. And there was one quote, I can't remember it right now, and I quoted it, and she's like, yeah, that's cool. So I think I'm going to buy a couple of copies, hard copies, because that's one of those books. Like, I have it on my Kindle.
What book?
Your book.
Oh, A User's Manual for the Human Experience?
Yeah.
You have it on your Kindle. Can you read PDFs on a Kindle? Because I haven't made that for Kindle format yet.
Well, somebody did.
Really?
No, I did. That's right. I converted it to
Kindle. Okay.
Yeah. This is a program, Calibre, that does a really good job of...
Well, you should send it to me, and then I will sell it on Amazon as a Kindle.
Yeah. Calibre doesn't always get the...
Yeah.
Thus far for yours, it's done really well. I also converted the PDF of For New Liberty by Rothbard, and it just came out really messed up. It was hard to read on the Kindle. But anyway, so I'm going to grab a couple of copies, one for myself, and I think I'm going to give her one because I think it would be beneficial.
Give who one?
My clinical therapist.
Okay. She's not going to have me committed?
No.
For having oppositional defiant disorder?
No. See, that's a cool thing. Like that whole – tyranny side hasn't quite permeated into my field yet. Where you see that more is with you see it more with psychiatrists because psychiatrists will prescribe meds.
Did you know
psychologists don't do that as much?
Did you know that 10% of Americans are on psych meds?
It's actually higher than that now.
Well, I saw that today. I was reading Newsweek at some office I was at today, and it was this week's Newsweek, and it said 10% of Americans are on psych meds and 10% of Americans are on painkillers. Mm-hmm. You think it's higher than 10%? You think Newsweek got it wrong?
I do. I think a lot of it's underreported. That kind of leads me to where I want to go the whole philosophy thing. So
I think it's disturbing that 10% of Americans are on psych meds because that either means that 10% of people are deeply disturbed or those drugs are way overprescribed or both.
I think it's both, but it's more that they're overprescribed. Yeah. And people nowadays, it's been my experience being in the field and seeing what I see. There are definitely people that need medication. I work with a lot of them, and I would not want to see them off their medication. But everyday
I think a lot of people that are on them, though, aren't people like that. I think they're people that just – I think a lot of it is that people have wrong expectations of life. And I really – what I blame a lot of it on is kind of like – I mean, this is just an example, but like, you know, that soccer where everybody wins. Like that kind of schooling to where like they build your self-esteem up without having anything to back it, and that's the most important thing that schools teach is self-esteem.
Yeah, and then when you get a defeat, it's crushing.
So like, and when you don't become president or you don't become a famous rapper by 21, you know, or you don't have all your dreams come true and you don't marry the perfect person and have it be happy when you're 21, you know, people are depressed by 30 and suicidal.
They tell you just do your best and you'll achieve all your dreams. Well, the sad fact of it is, yeah, you want to do your best. But your best needs to be lots of hard work, determination, dedication. You know, when you fail, you learn from that failure, you pick yourself up, and you keep going. Even more, you're even more driven. And they don't teach that to people, right?
You know, I got
to
say, you know, there's a lot of people I'd consider square who are my age or older who complain about these same things about young people, but they're also really statist and stupid. Like I was reading today about some kid in Michigan who got arrested and fined $200 for swearing. And I'm like, that is ridiculous. And that's tyranny. And a lot of the comments in the article were like, when I was my age, kids would never do that. And there is a law on the books and the kid should just learn to obey the law or pay the fine. He needs to get a job. And he looks smug, you know, it's like just damning this kid for the state attacking him. But I will say this, I grew up with always having a sense of gumption or of go get 'em or of working hard. And it came from my parents. I mean, I didn't really get a lot else from them. They were kind of square and really didn't teach me a lot of life lessons. But they both were self-employed, working 80 hours a week, making what they'd make 40 hours a week for someone else and loved it. And that was my role model, man. So we'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
We're back. Chandler just cannot be contained by the radio format. He was talking the whole time during the break. It was good stuff, and it's a good thing. Yeah, and so you're just saying, if you have back pain, what were you going to say?
So something that I found out that's really good is, and especially where you live in Wyoming, I live in Maine. A lot of folks in those areas have vitamin D deficiencies, and we often think that that leads to depression and all that stuff, which is true. But vitamin D helps your bones.
Yeah, I take it, and I drink a lot of milk too.
Yeah. Well, drink lots of water and take because I went to the doctors and I had a vitamin D deficiency. And it's the second time in a couple of years it's happened. It happens in this type of climate. And I've noticed that since I've been taking high doses of vitamin D, my back pain has been less. But I also exercise a lot, too. So
good to know. That, good to know. That. I went and got a 90-minute massage today. I have not had a massage in 5 years. That's why I'm so mellow and happy tonight, man.
Oh, they're so wonderful, yeah. Aren't they?
It's hard to find a place here, though. In L.A., there's like 100 places in the city of L.A. and probably like 200 in the valley where you can just walk in and get a massage, yeah. and get couples massage. Like my wife and I used to go, you know, get petted by little Thai women. And yep. I'm not talking about the happy ending kind. I'm just talking about the,
right.
You know, where they rub everything but that. But it was awesome. But here it's like there's no place that does couples massage. And you have to either go to like a spa that does facials, which is what I did. And you have to make an appointment, or you have to go to like, you know, some solo practitioner who lives in a trailer on the wrong side of the tracks. Or there's like a few massage parlors in town. When you search massage, like they come up to, and they're like, you know, I'm all in favor of all that being legal, but they're the kind where it seems like you might get stabbed or arrested or both.
Yeah, don't want to do that. Well, it's funny, when I started going to the chiropractor for my back problems years ago, I had this nice young lady just out of, I don't know, massage school or whatever. And
some nice young misogynist.
Yep, and she gave pretty good massages, you know, she's for a little thing, she gave pretty good massages. And then, I don't know, something, she had to transfer or whatever. So I walk in one day, and this guy, I can't even remember his name, it was like Hank or something. He's like, yeah, I'm the new massage service. Oh, nice to meet you. The guy looked like a guy out of The Sopranos. He was terrifying. But I'll tell you what, man, he gave the best massages. I was like, oh, you know, it just...
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I prefer them from men than women because I like them really hard. And
yeah.
But this was a woman who was like as strong as, you know, a Swedish shot putter. She was awesome.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're going to talk about philosophy. So
right. Haven't we been?
Yeah. So the news feeds are all the same on Facebook and Twitter, really bugging me. So I've started posting some new stuff. I came across this quote the other day. Good news is rare these days, and every glittering ounce of it should be cherished and hoarded and worshipped and fondled like a priceless diamond. And that was Hunter S. Thompson.
Every what should be fondled? Say it again.
Good news is rare these days, and every glittering ounce of it should be cherished and hoarded and worshipped and fondled like a priceless diamond.
Okay.
He's got a way with words. I'm really I read his Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and I've seen both the movies, Where the Buffalo Roam and Fear and Loathing, and I've always liked him, but I've started to get into his stuff more. And so I bought a new translation of the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu today, and I really like it. And I was reading the background and the introductory information, and I came across this, and I posted it to Facebook, and I just posted it with the caption, Ancient Anarchism. And it follows, according to the old man, in order to act for real, there must be nothing extra between the mind, the body, and the action itself. We cannot be laden with intention or mental baggage. We must act naturally without coercion. His phrase, we woo we, to act without acting or to do without doing, means to act without assertiveness, without relying on human mental constructs or notions or rules. It is to act spontaneously according to one's innate nature and in harmony with the innate natures of all things in the environment. For him to act without acting, to do without fabrication, is to be in harmony with the Tao. So basically, I mean, my anarchist spin on that is that we will be back in a moment, and I will go into it.
It's quite a promise. I'll be there.
Because I'm long-winded, you know.
I'll be there. Worms.
Worms.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Ah, ah. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
It is a most excellent night in Wyoming. Whenever my wife and I get fortune cookies, we always add "in Wyoming" at the end of whatever it says to make it true.
Oh, you don't do the whole in bed thing?
We did that, but yeah. We do that anyway. We're a feisty middle-aged couple. I went to get some blood tests today, and they offered me all these tests, and one of the tests was your testosterone level. I'm like, I don't need that tested. They should bottle me and sell it to younger men who have problems.
Yeah, right. Yep. On.
But so anyway, you were talking about philosophy. Let's get away from the guttural and the physical and get into the spiritual.
Well, and you know, it's not just spiritual. Like one of the things I'm starting to realize, like after reading that quote, Lao Tzu is very much about inaction leading to positive action and positive change. And when he talks about being in harmony with your own innate nature and the innate natures of other things, to me, that's voluntarism. That's live and let live. Don't tread on me. Let's work cooperatively without coercion.
I'm intrigued by this inaction leading to positive outcome. To me, that sounds like sit on the couch and dream yourself successful, which doesn't work.
No. See, like, you got to understand the background for where a lot of his writing comes from, you know, in...
Smoking opium?
Yeah. In medieval China. Working within the feudal system. Yeah, you probably have to smoke a lot of opium to get through that.
Actually, was there opium in China? Then did opium go from China to India or India to China?
I believe it went from India to China.
Yeah, I don't know if it was around in medieval China.
Yeah.
I'll search that. Well, I'll look that up. I'll have my cracked research team get on that while you talk.
Yeah.
I want to know about the inaction leading to positive outcome, though.
Well, he talks a lot about how desires, when you have desires, it can be a positive thing, but it can also cloud your vision and cloud your judgment. And you don't see what's around you that's positive because you're covetous of something or you're desiring something. And that can lead you to actually harmful ends. You know, you strive to get this one thing or this one person, but while you're doing that, you neglect the people or the things in your life that you have that are positive. You don't see them.
Okay, there was opium in China in 1483, which is the end of the period considered medieval. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we're talking way before that. We're talking like 500 to 700 BC.
Yeah, which is the beginning of the period called medieval. Now, the thing you're saying about inaction leading to positive action or positive outcome, there's one Western modern thing that kind of reminds me of that has been really useful to me in my life. It was something I learned in Al-Anon. My parents never drank, and I never had a significant other that was using drugs unless I was using them at the time. So I've never gone to Al-Anon because of, you know, like a wife or a, you know, partner or anything. But I actually went to Al-Anon shortly after I got clean because I was in a band with a guy who was clean and he relapsed. And I should have just kicked him out of the band or replaced him or quit the band, but I didn't. And I went to Al-Anon. And one of the things they said in there that was great was, don't just do something, stand there. And what that means, you know, it's a play on don't just stand there, do something. Don't just do something, stand there, is advice to people who are in codependent relationships with alcoholics or addicts who always want to try to fix everything.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's exactly. And granted, this is very, some of this is very new to me. So
I think you could also say it is choose your battles.
It is. And
you know, I don't feel a need at this point in my life to always be doing something like activism wise, for instance. Like, I'm not out marching in the streets. I'm not trying to work through the system. The only thing I do on a, you know, continual basis is talk into this microphone. And you know, that could sound to some people like a cop out or whatever, but I'm doing it really well. And a lot of people are hearing it. A lot of people like it. And I think it's going to make a difference. And I think it's going to be long lasting.
You're right. It will.
I'm digging it. Yeah.
And it's your path. That's the thing. Like, who is anyone else? You know, even these libertarians that are saying, oh, you need to do more. Who are they to tell you what you need to do to promote the ideas of liberty? Everybody has their own place, and you have to recognize what your place is. You play on your strengths.
I'm really astonished with the amount of beefing among libertarians lately. It kind of blows me away, because especially since I'm not on Facebook, but if I go on there just to check, you know, the Fiends page or whatever, and like look at the feed or look at my Twitter feed or whatever, I am just astonished at the amount of beefing between libertarians. And I'm not going to say, hey guys, cut it out. We need to all stay together. I look at it more like, I think it's a sign of positive growth in a way, because I think that there was a time when liberty was such a tiny life raft that nobody dare rock it or we'd all sink. But I think now it's almost approaching mainstream, to the point where, you know, you can call someone a hypocrite when they do something stupid. Like, you can beef at Stefan Molyneux when he yells at someone for sending him a dollar, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and point out that he's really solid otherwise, but you know, it's okay. I believe it's okay to criticize people in liberty. I think a lot of people are really snarky about it and really petty and do it for attention. And, you know, it's kind of the thing of, you know, there's an old saying like that, you know, the young lion attacks the older lion to gain his crown. And that kind of exists everywhere. And it's kind of immature in a way too. It's kind of like, you know, you see it everywhere. Like, the Sex Pistols bragged about how they stole David Bowie's microphone to start their band. Like, they stole it off a truck outside a concert. And, you know, it's stealing something from the old established, you know, tired, soft star, you know, the hungry, thin, up and coming, you know, starving, I want to make my mark in the world person. Always, you know, it's really common in rap music too. Young
so
rappers
why do you
beef at older rappers?
Yeah. So my question is, why do you need to play upon somebody else and use somebody else to achieve your goals and your dreams? Why can't you do it yourself?
It is immature, and it's, I just kind of stay out of it. You know, very, very occasionally, like probably twice a year, I will go on a rant and complain about some other libertarian, but it's not trying to knock their crown off. It's trying to point out something in particular that I actually think that they've done wrong. You know, I'm not a beefer.
Yeah. So going back to that whole thing, I think this quote really applies. This is something Thoreau said: rather than love, than money, than fame, give me truth. And I think a lot of the beefing you see is people having something to prove.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're confident in who you are, you don't have to knock other people down as a regular thing. You know, I mean, if somebody steps out of line and does something really bad, it's worth doing. But yeah, I'm not into beefing. I don't feed off it. You know,
I
block people and delete them when they beef with me, if they're stupid, if it's ridiculous and there's no merit in it and they just obviously want to beef, because that turns into a time suck, and I don't have that. I mean, I barely have any free time as it is, so I don't have time to beef with people.
Well, and even if you do have time, why would you want to do that? You know, it was once said that even a wise leader knows when to follow.
Yeah, I mean, what I've found, there's a thing in the AA book too about resentments. It says that resentments are a luxury of normal men. They will kill alcoholics, and it's really true. Of me. I'm 20. What's that?
I don't think it's just alcohol. It'll kill just alcoholics.
Yeah, I think that they were speaking kindly in that. I really think it will kill anybody. And I know that beefing with people gives you a high. You know, whether you're winning or not, like, you always think you're winning anyway. You know, what's that thing? Like, it's like playing chess with a pigeon. They knock the pieces over, crap on the board, and strut around and say they've won. You know, doing that gives you a high. It gives you an adrenalated, like, physical high in your head and your body of being right, or my words are so masterful, I will slay him from my keyboard. But it has a come down that makes you feel poisoned in your head and your body, and, you know, if you believe in a soul, in your soul too. And living a life like that just turns you into a really bitter old person. I mean, I'm coming up on 50 this weekend, and I keep mentioning that because it's kind of a big deal to me. It's, I haven't really thought about a birthday since, like, I was 30, probably. I mean, I don't even notice my birthdays, but I'm like, wow, I'm 50. First of all, I said when I was a teenager to anyone who'd listen, I'm going to be dead and famous by my 30th birthday, before my 30th birthday. That was like a goal, you know? And I want, you know, my heroes were like Burroughs and the Rolling Stones and, you know, people that lived fast and died young. And I was planning on doing that. And when I hit 30, I got sober. I got sober like right after my 30th birthday. And I wasn't famous. I was broke. I was, my band had broken up. I'd been kicked off of Warner Brothers, and I had to like reinvent myself. So,
well, there you go. I mean, in a sense, you had died. The old Michael.
There you go. That's how
died.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
And you were reborn into something new, something different. You've grown. So, like, if the whole beefing thing is a high for people and whatever, and people get off on it, if you don't do that anymore, is that a sign of growth? Because I used to
I'll say this to anybody who's not 50 yet. If you get off on doing that, I'm here to tell you, you'll be somebody nobody wants to be around by the time you're 50 if you do that continually.
Well, and that's the thing, like, not only beefing, but when you're constantly, even if you're doing it in an educational way, constantly complaining about the tyranny and what's wrong with the world, the youth.
I want to beef about the government.
Yeah. Well, even if you're doing that, though, if that's all you're doing, nobody wants to be around you. You know, you got to
talk about cats, too.
Yeah. You got to talk about cats. You got to inspire people. You got to make people laugh once in a while. And like me, man, I'm the most unfunniest person in the world. Like, when you listen to our show, I'm that dry guy. You know, I don't
laugh.
You're
not so dry on this show, though.
Well, different chemistry, I guess. That's my role. And I take the more serious approach or whatever. But you got to balance all that stuff out. I mean, sometimes I feel like an old man in a young man's body. And I've come to realize that with everything, you know, I don't think it's any big mystery, but you need to have balance in your life. You need to balance the good, the bad, the light, the dark, everything.
Worms. And we'll be back with the redemption in the third act, about finding balance and purpose in life while kicking the dragon of the state.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the end of the show. Last segment on Michael Dean After Dark. And one thing I wanted to add that I didn't get to before, when I was talking about going to get a massage today, it was great. It was worth it. It was, you know, couldn't really afford it, but did it anyway because I couldn't really afford not to. It made my back feel better. That's why I'm all perky tonight, perkier than usual lately. But the interesting thing was, since it was at a spa, which is connected to a doctor's office, same building, same owner, I had to fill out some paperwork to get a massage. It was like one page, but you know, they needed my phone number, address, basic health history. And I'm so not used to that for a massage. In LA, you just walk into these places, put the money down, and you know, they ask you if you have any pain. Do you have any problems, any areas you want extra attention or less attention or soft touch or whatever. You don't need to write anything down. There's no paperwork. And I kind of like that. I kind of feel like everything in life should be like a drug deal. not in the sense that you can get murdered and it costs lots of money and you can get arrested, but in the sense that buying drugs does not involve paperwork. And I really feel like nothing should involve paperwork. Buying guns should involve paperwork. Exchanging Bitcoin should involve paperwork.
You just want a consensual, voluntary interaction between two individuals.
Yeah, it's like this
without
is
a third party.
This is an A to B conversation so everyone else can see their way out of it.
Exactly.
That's what I got. What do you got for the redemption in the third act?
Well, being the young old man that I am.
So you're an old man in a young man's body. I'm a young man in an old man's body.
Yeah. So I've just come to realize that you have to find balance in everything you do, whether it's work, play, relationships, passions. You have to balance your desires and your acceptance.
You know, it's kind of interesting that that's hard to do, because in interactions between people where there's not paperwork or intervention or regulation, things reach their own level and find their balance, and that's called the market. But there's something about human nature that keeps us from listening to the signals that our brain and body send to us.
That's so true, because
isn't it weird that you have to make yourself find balance? You should just, you know, here's an interesting thing. When I get up every day, I check my computer to see how long I slept, because there's a way to check in the Windows profile to see like when it was turned off and when it was turned back on. I should just ask my body if I slept enough, but I ask, you know, a machine.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, I have to find that balance, because when you focus on one thing too much, whether it's positive or negative, a lot passes you by and you might miss some really cool stuff. You might miss the company of a really cool person. You might miss the opportunity to experience a totally new experience that would change your life.
We're going to Porkfest, and it was a lot of meandering and saving money and figuring things out and dealing with DJ's work and dealing with me doing the show to be able to do that. And, you know, it's a lot of people that go you're going to drive there. Like, we have to fly there. We have to drive to Denver and then fly there. We have to get someone to house sit. We have to get, you know, time off from work. We had to all sorts of things, man. It was a lot of work, and we were really glad we're doing it, because I'd hate to never go to that.
Dude, I'm so excited. I mean, last year was my first year, and this year I'm going. I want to go for the whole week, but it looks like I'm not going to leave till Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And you know what? I'm going to take an economic loss, because I don't have the earned time. You know, I'm going to take the time off, and I'm sure I'll get it, but I'm not going to get paid for it. But I don't even care, man, because that's a place where I am going to find my balance. I'm going to meet new cool people. I'm going to meet people I know, like you, for the first time.
Yeah, I'm going to meet a bunch of people I consider friends I've never met, like all the co-hosts on this show, pretty much. All right, man. It's been a great show. I've been having a good time doing a show with you, Chandler.
Me too, man. Very enlightening.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Worms.
Good wordens. Good night, everyone.
Good Wormans Day to you.
Yes.
St. Wormans Day. Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening. Good night.